is good, isn't he? God is so good. I'm telling you, I'm stirred up. I've been singing to the Lord all week. I've been singing to the Lord all day. And my husband told me it was on his heart for me to minister here tonight. I was like, well, there's something there for the people, that means. And, you know, we minister and we do this work. We work this work. We do this by faith, you know, by the leading of the Holy Ghost. Who's got the word for the people tonight, you know? And so there's a word here from heaven. We don't just, you know, have a calendar. Well, you take this week, I'll take this week. We don't just go into the Bible and say, well, we were in that chapter last time. Let's move to the next chapter. No, it's not that way. It's what does the Lord have for his people? What does the Lord have for his church? And so I believe he's got a word in season here tonight. And the title, if you take notes, it's called With a Heart of Thanksgiving, I Will Bless You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when I opened up my Bible, I told you last time I was up here that I'm a Post-it fan. And sometimes, you know, in a service, the Lord will just drop something in my heart and I'll write it down. And it may not be for then, it may be for later. And so I wrote this down and it was in my Bible. And when I opened up my Bible, I saw my Post-it that said, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless you, O Lord. You, Lord, have delivered us out of Egypt. And so that the Lord then dropped this whole message into my heart for tonight, and I believe that. So if you believe with me, we're going to get somewhere, and we are going to leave here changed. And if you got the slick text or you're on Facebook, you may have seen that if you get a hold of what I'm going to teach here tonight out of the Word of God, if you get a hold of this, it will change your entire life. It'll change everything. Amen. Let's open up to Deuteronomy 26. I love the Word of God. Love what God has for his people. Amen. And that I get to be his child. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 26. And we're going to start in verse 8 here. Hallelujah. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. Of course, this is referring to the Israelites who became trapped in slavery after Joseph's. Everybody heard of Joseph and his multicolored robe, his multicolored coat, right? The son of Jacob, the son of Israel, right? And the 12 tribes of Israel. Even if you aren't a Bible scholar, you may have heard of that, right? And we're not going to go too much into that tonight. But this is taking place after Joseph has already saved his family from the famine, and now they've been in slavery for hundreds of years at the hands of the Egyptians. Yeah. And that's not the way God wants his people to be, right, in bondage, in slavery. Right. God does not want his people trapped, amen?
That's right.
And so though this is referring to the Israelites, this is also about us. So we're going to see that tonight. But so this event, God brings his children, his people, his Israelite chosen people, he brings them out of Egypt. It says, with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. I picture this. He's like, come on, child, I'm here to help you. Come with me, I'm here. My arm is outstretched. I'm here to rescue you. Just grab hold and I'll get you out. Yeah. Amen? That's what I picture God doing for his people. And so this is symbolic, of course, of us being in the captivity to the devil. Right? In bondage to the devil, and God saying, here, I'm here to take you out. I'm here to get you out of that. Yeah. I'm reaching out my hand. Just take it. I will take you out of that.
Yeah.
Trust me. Listen, if we think we've had it bad, we have not been trapped for hundreds of years in slavery.
Right.
In slavery, okay? We've had it bad. I'm sure that we've all had things that have been really bad.
Sure. Yeah.
And when wouldn't the devil love for us to sit there and go, oh, man, I just have the worst. How am I ever going to get out of this? There could be nothing possibly worse than where I'm at right now. How could I possibly get out? With a mighty arm and an outstretched hand, come on, I'm here to take you out.
Yeah,
I'm here, I'm here. I'm here to get you out of that.
Yeah.
And this is the way he does it. He does it with great terror. That word terror, it means with great, awesome power.
Amen.
You think you're powerless. You think you could not possibly do this on your own. Well, you can't, but he can.
Amen.
And just like he delivered the Egyptians out, or the Israelites out of the Egyptian bondage, he is here to deliver us today out of the bondage that's trying to grab a hold of us and keep us down. With great and awesome power and with signs and wonders, with many signs and wonders, God brought his people out of the bondage of the Egyptians. It was with great and awesome power, with miracle signs and wonders, that God delivered the Israelites out of Egypt, and it was with great and awesome power, with miracle signs and wonders following, that God delivered us out of the hands of the devil. Amen. He saved us, and he's given us new life. Yeah. It's up to us to take his hand and now walk in it. Amen? Let's read verse 9 here. He has brought us to this place, and he has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Yeah. Now, this is talking about the land of Canaan and the Israelites, of course, but it is symbolic of what God has done for us right now in the here and now. He has taken us from the bondage of the enemy, and he has given us the land flowing with milk and honey. Every promise in this book he has given us. He said, it's here for you. I got you. I took you out of that bondage. Now you just walk in it. You go take and you possess everything that I've already given you. It's your job to possess it. I already gave it to you. It's yours. When I have a gift and somebody's handed me a gift, if somebody gives me a cash gift, somebody gave me $100, you know, who doesn't want $100, right? Somebody gave me $100. Am I going to go, where am I going to get $100? I wonder where I could get $100. Sure, wish I had $100. Man, it'd be nice to have $100. No, I have it in my pocket. Am I going to use it, or am I going to just pretend I never got it? Yeah. We need to be people who use what he gave us, amen, right? And we're going to see how we do that here tonight. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I love the word of God. We are not going to be in bondage. Everybody say that. I am not going to be in bondage anymore. I'm done with that. I'm done with that junk. Yeah, it's junk. We're not having it. We're not being in bondage. We're not taking it. We've been given freedom. We've been given a land flowing with milk and honey. So we got to walk in that land. We're done with that junk. Done with that bondage. 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. God is glorified in us walking out his promises. Yeah. It glorifies God to see us in the land flowing with milk and honey. It glorifies God to see us walking out all those promises that he already said, they're yours. It glorifies him when other people see us walking out those promises. They say, wow, they must have a God with awesome power behind them. They must have a God with miracle signs and wonder kind of power behind them. Because when they see us glorified in our lives and us living that blessed life, then they glorify God. Do you understand that? A child is not, a child who is living beneath doesn't glorify the parent. Anybody who looks at them says, that parent's not taking very good care of them, right? We all have seen parents who haven't taken very good care of their children. And we all think the same thing. Poor child. I wish they had a parent who would take better care of them. You know you've thought it. But we don't want people to think that about our God, our Heavenly Father. He gave us, he delivered us out of the bondage. He gave us the land flowing with milk and honey. And now he says, prove, glorify me by actually walking in it, by actually possessing it. Amen? We're getting somewhere. I'm going to read this in the Amplified, 2 Corinthians 1:20. It says, for as many as are the promises of God, they all find their yes, their answer, in him, Christ. For this reason, listen here, we also utter the amen, so be it, to God through him in his person and by his agency to the glory of God. So not only is us walking out the promises that he gave us a way that glorifies him, but us amening, so be it, speaking and uttering, it says here, uttering the amen to God, it's to the glory of God. So, you know, I posted, you know, maybe you've seen our Facebook Live videos that we've been posting, just to let people know we're teaching the word around here. Share those. Let people know we're teaching the word around here. Well, we've had a lot of people tuning in, a lot. I mean, thousands. And we had one particular person this week who sent a message saying, how come everybody's talking over the pastor? I can't even understand the pastor. Why are they talking? And you know, that this message, I was already going to minister this message before I saw that. But you know, that it was just an interesting timing to get that. Because when I'm reading scriptures like this, when we utter amen, when we let God know that we get it, it glorifies him. So you know, you may hear me in service saying, wow. Or, yeah, that's right. Because you know, I'm letting God know that I know he's talking to me right now, that he's delivering something to me to change my life right now. And I'm letting him know, so be it. I take that. I accept that. I believe you for that. I know it to be true. And so, you know, it may seem really weird. Listen, when I first walked into Family Church as an atheist, okay, and because he dragged me in or told me basically, we're not going to be together otherwise, and that's what got me there. Listen, sometimes it takes something that, you know, people say, I'll wait till they want to come. No, use your love and the way they love you to get them into church, because once they get there, they're going to hear the word, and it's going to start to change them. So don't just say, oh, well, we'll just let them come when they want to. They'll never want to come. An atheist will never want to come on their own. I never would have come to church if he wouldn't have said that the only way we're going to be able to be together is if I came to church. That's the only thing that got me into church. That's it. And so when I came in, and we're standing in the back row, and everybody's going, praise God, I'm like, this is crazy. What's wrong with these people? I was like, do you understand where you just took me? These people sound nuts, right? I thought it was crazy. And you know, but it took me understanding that what they were doing was actually letting God know, like, I believe that I'm actually not here as some religious ritual. I'm not just here fulfilling some, like, duty, and it's just some social obligation. But I actually believe that, God, you are meeting me here, that you're here for my appointment with you, and you're actually talking to me, that you're using the minister to actually get things over to my life. It wasn't until I realized that I started actually going, yeah. And it took me a while to, like, dare to say it out loud and not think, like, oh, what are they going to say about me? And what if they hear me say amen? I'm going to sound like a freak, you know. They're going to think this or they're going to think that. It took me a while to get over that. And it doesn't matter how loud. You know, sometimes I don't even realize how loud I'm being. I just get excited about what God just showed me. And so sometimes you think, okay, I'll just get my toes a little bit wet, and you end up diving in. Well, you know, that was kind of me. But what I'm saying is, when we utter amen, when we let God know, yeah, God, I got that. I got what you just said to me. Amen. Yeah. That's for me. I believe you for that. Yeah. That glorifies him, because he's like, they're actually getting it. They're actually hearing what I'm saying to them. They're actually getting it into their hearts. Amen. So when somebody says, why are they so loud? Well, you give them that answer. You let them know. It's because they're telling God they get it. Yeah. They understand. Amen? And so maybe some of you have been confused about that as well. Well, there's some help for you. Amen? Amen. As many promises as God has made, they are all yes because of Christ. Christ was our exodus. Christ is our answer. Christ is our amen. Christ is our so be it. So be it. I get to walk in that land flowing with milk and honey. I get to live there. Amen. So be it. Christ did it. Christ is my amen. Christ is my so be it. Christ was my exodus. Christ was my ticket out of bondage. Amen. Praise the Lord. When we come to church, it's us meeting God, or at least it should be. It's God coming to us, teaching us, guiding us, correcting us, encouraging us. Through Jesus, we have full assurance that we can walk in all the promises of God. Full assurance. Yeah. When he reveals those things to us, we should respond. Yeah. That's what it's all about. Yeah. It says here, the amen is spoken. It's said. It's not just thought. It's not just thought. It's said. We let God know we mean it. Imagine being on the telephone with somebody. I've been there. You're on the telephone with somebody and you're talking to them and you're asking them, you're saying something to them that really they should be confirming that they get. Like, I gave you directions to how to get to my house. And so turn here and then you go here, right? And then this. And then it's like, yeah. Wait, did you get that? Like, I just told you all these directions. I just got you where you need to go. Yeah. I just made sure you knew where to turn, what to do, where your path was going to take you. Did you get it? Because I didn't hear anything. You know, it's kind of the same thing. Like, do you understand? Like, are you getting this? Or are you just, you know, here, somber, like all the other religious churches? Amen? Hello, are you listening to me? Don't you care? Isn't that what you would say? Hello, don't you care? I just told you how to get here. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Oh, hallelujah. Or what about this? You're a parent, and your kids are getting corrected for something, And I've dealt with this with Caleb. Caleb is so sweet. He doesn't ever want to talk back to you. But sometimes when you're correcting your kid, you want them to, like, respond. Not talk back, but, like, I'm hearing you. And so I'd be like, don't do this anymore. You shouldn't be doing that. That's not acceptable behavior, you know. And do you hear me? Are you going to change? Are you actually going to take this to heart? See, do you understand that? You've all been there naturally. You've all had that kind of response from somebody naturally. Let's be people who aren't that way with God. Right. God is in church, and when you're in church, God's trying to teach you something. He's trying to give you all the directions you need to get through the week, to get through where you need to go. He's trying to give you the correction for things that you know have been a little bit off, and he's trying to get you back on course. Let him know, yeah, I get it. I heard you, and I'm going to do my best to do it. Amen. That was for me. Ouch, hallelujah. Wow, you're speaking right to me right now. You don't have to yell it, but let him know. Let him know. And that's what response is all about. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 26:10. I should have had you stay there, but that's okay. I'll just read this to you. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. When we bring the first fruits, when we're tithers, it actually glorifies and worships God. That's what that's talking about. But let's look at verse 11. So you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house, you and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. You should rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you in your house. Rejoice means to be in joy. What does it look like when you're in joy? Yeah. Does it look like this? Or this?
No.
Oh. No, it's like I'm smiling. Yes. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, God, you've done so much for me. You've done so much for me. When you're in joy, you're cheering. You're laughing. You may be saying hallelujah. Yes. Yes. You know, I know Ezra, when she gets in joy and she just receives some really good news or something, she'll go, yes. I love that. I catch her out of the corner of my eye going, yes. You know, you can give God your yes. Rejoice because of how good God has been to you. Rejoice at your salvation. Rejoice because he has given you the local church. Yes. Oh my gosh, there are people in this world that can't even go to church, that would get arrested or murdered for going to church. Yeah. Yet these churches in this country, good Bible teaching churches, have seats that are just waiting to be full because people don't rejoice at the fact that God gave them a local church. Rejoice that God gave you a place to be fed. Rejoice that he gave you the place where you could come sit at the table and eat. I mean, that's an amazing gift he's given us. If you can't think of anything else God did for you, which he's done a lot, but if you can't think of anything else, at least rejoice at your salvation. At least rejoice at your local church. Rejoice because he's given you the word of God. He's given us so many things, but at least those, if you can't think of anything to thank God for, well, you should at least be thanking him for that. Let's turn to the book of Psalms. We're going to be in there a lot tonight. So good. Psalm 103. Are you getting this? I hope this is speaking to you. You know, I know that somebody had to teach me these things. And we need to know. We need to know that we're not doing things in vain. That what we do around here, we endeavor to be according to Scripture. Psalm 103, and we're going to start in verse 1. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. That word bless, when you look it up in the original meaning, it means to kneel in adoration. It means to praise. It means to thank. Thank the Lord and bless his name, praise his name, adore his name, and forget not all his benefits. His benefits, it means his service to you, his rewards to you, his acts, his dealings with you. Praise God, thank God, and forget not all the things he's dealt you. Forget not all the rewards he's brought you. Remind him, remind yourself, remind the devil what God has done for you. Amen. Verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities, which are your sins and your faults, who heals all your diseases. Wait, I said all. He forgives all your iniquities. Everything you have ever done, he will forgive you and has already. You just go to him, you repent, you get right, your heart is to change, and he's already forgiven you. All of it. I mean, nothing is too big for God to forgive. Nothing. And nothing is too big for God to heal. All your diseases. I mean, that's something to bless him and thank him for, isn't it? Who redeems your life from destruction. That word redeems means to buy back. You know, in the Orient and Asian cultures, there was something called the kinsman redeemer, who if somebody had passed away, that their kinsmen would come and they would redeem, they would buy back, and they would take to their own as a responsibility, their wife, their belongings, and they would take it under their own care. They would purchase it with a price to care for it. That's what Jesus did for us. He bought us back. He redeemed us. The devil had us. The devil had power over us. The devil was our controller. The devil was the god of this earth and still is the god of this earth to anyone who will let him be their god. Yeah. But Jesus came and he bought us back. He was our kinsman redeemer. He redeemed us. He purchased us back. Amen. If that's not something to rejoice about. We were dead. We were dead and he redeemed us. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. I love this right here. Satisfies your mouth with good things. You know what that word satisfies means? Oh, man, there's abundance. It's good. There's the goodness never runs out. That's what satisfied means. If the goodness ran out, we wouldn't be satisfied. Being satisfied is the goodness is always there. It's always good. It's always good. God fills your mouth. He satisfies your mouth with plenty, with good things. He gives you so many reasons to speak good things and so many good things to say that you couldn't possibly run dry. For as long as you live into eternity, you will never run out of good testimony on account of the Lord. You will never run out of life-giving words to speak on account of the Lord. He gave you more than you'll ever need in this entire eternity. You'll never run out. You'll never run out on account of the Lord. He satisfies, but we have to be the one to speak. He satisfies us. He's given us more good words than we'll ever run out of, but we've got to say them. We can't be Christians who just won't speak to God, who just won't rejoice, who won't praise him and bless him and thank him out loud, who won't speak his word. We can't be Christians like that and then blame God. We'll be satisfied with an abundance of good things if we use them. Yeah. Amen. If we'll say them, if we'll speak them. We're in Psalms. Flip back to Psalm 34. Hope you're getting this tonight. It'll change your life. This message right here, you may think, well, there's nothing, you know, huge in this. I probably even heard some of this before. Well, it'll change your life if you do it. It'll change your life. Oh, I didn't even read the last part of that. Let me read that again, that verse. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. When we actually put our mouth to good practice, to saying good things, to speaking the word of God, our youth is renewed like the eagles. I have never seen an eagle that doesn't look powerful and doesn't look like they're just soaring through life. Never. I've never seen a defeated eagle. Never. Hallelujah. Psalm 34. Glory to God. Verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. Everybody say all times.
All times.
All times. I will bless the Lord at all times. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will thank the Lord at all times. I will kneel in adoration to the Lord at all times. Remember, that's what I said that word bless in its original language means. I will kneel, I will go to the Lord in adoration at all times.
Yes.
You mean even when things are hard, I should still be thanking God? Yes. And especially when things are hard, you should be thanking God. Because the devil wants to distract you with all the stuff that's hard. He wants you to go back to Egypt. We're going to get there. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That means when you're riding in your car, praise God. When you're taking your shower, praise God. When you're laying in bed at night, praise God. When you wake up in the morning, praise God. When the bill comes in the mail that you don't know how to pay, praise God. When your kid gets cocky with you, praise God. Discipline them, but praise God. Amen. When things in life come against you, Are you praising God? Are you continually having his praise on your lips? That's where we need to live. Hallelujah. Oh, I love this. Go back a couple pages to Psalm 22. We're going. We're seeing some things tonight. You're going to leave here changed. You're going to leave here more powerful. You're going to leave here with more tools, with efficient tools that'll get this job done. Psalm 22:3. But you are holy. You are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Israel, remember, that's his people. That's representative of God's people. It says here, enthroned in the praises of Israel. It means he dwells, he inhabits. That's what enthroned means. God is holy, and he dwells, he inhabits the praises of his people. You may have heard us say that around here. God inhabits, he lives in, he dwells in the praises of his people. Well, where God dwells, there's power. Where God dwells, there's authority. Where God dwells, there's peace. Where God dwells, there's provision. Everything you want in life, the land flowing with milk and honey, it's in the presence of God. It's when God dwells with you. And God dwells with you when you praise. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so if you're like, I love to praise God, great, because God's dwelling with you. So what do you need done? What do you need? God's there. His power, his outstretched arm, his mighty hand, awesome power with signs and wonders is right there with you. If you're a person of praise, you're a person of great power. In a place of praise, you'll always tap into God's power and ability, because God's power and ability live with him. Wherever he goes, they go, and he lives in your praise. When we start to understand that coming to church is not about religion or ritual, and it's about a relationship with God, we won't be afraid to praise. We won't be afraid to thank him. Because if you've got a relationship with someone and they've done good things for you, what is the first thing you usually say? Thank you so much. I appreciate that so much. Why aren't we thanking God and appreciating him at least as much as we do somebody in our natural life? Amen? You know, my husband does good things for me and is good to me. I thank him every single time. If somebody is good to me and they bless me, if somebody buys my coffee for me, I'm like, oh, thank you so much. That was so nice of you. I can't believe you just did that for me. Thank you. I so appreciate that. And people are so quick to praise other people, but we're not quick to praise God. And God lives in our praise. He inhabits our praise. And so don't let the devil make you feel foolish praising God, because God wants to communicate with us. He wants us to communicate with him. He wants to have a loving relationship with us. He wants us to be his children who come to him like we would thank our own mom and dad for doing good things. Right. Amen? But even more so. We're going to go back over to Psalm 100. We're kind of flipping through Psalm here, the book of Psalms. Go to Psalm 100. Yeah, if you realize that coming to church is about your relationship with God, then you would realize that talking to him is just about your relationship too. It's just about communicating with him, and it makes perfect sense. And you wouldn't be confused and feel weird about somebody saying amen or thank you, Lord, during a church service when they were being spoken to from God to you. Amen? Psalm 100, verse 4. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. If you won't praise, you aren't even going to enter into his courts. You're not even going to enter into where God dwells, where his presence is. You know, the courts here is specifically talking about in the Old Testament when they built the tabernacle to God, the temple, the tabernacle, there was an outer court. Okay, and the outer court was kind of the first place that you stepped into when you were going to be in the presence of God. And then God's presence, we know, was kept in an inner room in the Holy of Holies, and it was surrounded by the court, the outer court. We won't even enter into his outer court if we're not people of praise. Do you understand that? We're not going to get in to the good things and the deep things of God if we can't get through the simple part that we need to praise him. The praise is the easiest form of prayer. It's the easiest form of communicating with God, and it does so many good things for us. But most people will put it off because of their flesh. And if we're not people of praise, that means we're people of our flesh. The outer court was, let's Oh, I said that. It's the first kind of spot before you get into the presence of God. And so I'm not teaching really about that. But the point is that if we want to get into the Holy of Holies, which of course God lives on the inside of us now, because Jesus gave us the presence of God to live on the inside of us. But it still works the same way. We enter into the courts, into the dwelling place of God through praise. God inhabits our praises. He lives with us and dwells with us. We become one in his presence through our praise. It's important. And when we focus on God, we can't help but to praise him because we see all the good things he's done for us, and we can't help but to thank him. John 3. Word is so good. Oh, my goodness. I love the word of God. I love God. God, you are so good. Teach us things. You help us. You're helping me, Lord. Reminding me of the most important thing, to have a relationship with you, Lord. John 3, verse 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Okay, so we're going to talk about this a little bit. In the Exodus, during the Exodus, when the Israelites were in the wilderness, the Israelites in Numbers 21, they started disobeying God. They started getting really ungrateful. They didn't like the manna from heaven. They wanted something better. They didn't like God's miracle. They thought, I want more than that miracle that God gave me. They didn't like it. They wanted to turn back. They started complaining. They called the manna actually worthless. And so the judgment of God fell. There were snakes. They started getting bitten by snakes. And they started realizing, oh, man, we're out of the will of God. And so they went to Moses and said, help us, basically. Help us, because now it's come back to bite us. Your sin, your lack of gratefulness will come back to bite you. It will come back to bite you. We're going to look at Numbers 21. We're going to pick up in verse 7 here. We're talking about, you don't need to turn there. You guys stay in John 3. I'll just read it. Numbers 21, verse 7. So this is what's happening. The Exodus has already taken place. They're in the wilderness. They've been in an attitude of complaint and ungratefulness, and it's bitten them, okay? Therefore, verse 7, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he will take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said, isn't that so gracious and merciful? You are the ones who did this to yourself, but I'll help you. I'll help you. Here you go. My hand's still here to help you. Yeah. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Wow. We're back in John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So here's this bronze serpent, and the people who had been bitten by the snakes and were about to die, as they looked upon that bronze serpent, they were healed and they lived. And it says here in John 3:14 that just as that serpent, that bronze serpent, was lifted up, that's how Jesus should be for us now. That he should be lifted up so that if we've been bitten, if we've been lost in our sin, if we've been held in the bondage of our own sin, and we're suffering from our own choices, if we look to Jesus, we will live. That's just awesome. Whatever you've been through, look to Jesus. Your focus on Jesus. If you look to Jesus, if we lift up Jesus, how do we lift him up? With our praise. We lift him up with our words, with our praise. And as we lift him up, then we live. Do you understand that? That's our deliverance. We lift him up. Verse 15. That whoever believes in him, Jesus, should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is what God did for us. We were just like those Israelites complaining. We take this life for granted, all the good things that we have in this life, all the blessing, the health, the physical capabilities of our bodies that God created us with. I mean, the air that we have to breathe, everything God made for us, we take so much of it for granted. We complain and we murmur against God and we want different things instead of what God's provided for us, and we get into that place of ungratefulness so easily. But if we focus and we redirect to Jesus and we lift up Jesus, that's where the life is. That's where the change is. That's where the healing takes place. Amen? It's through our praise. It's through our gratefulness. See, praise isn't praise if there's not gratefulness attached to it. Amen? This is why we praise. This is why we don't just sit at church half asleep, somber, bored.
Yeah, right.
This is why we praise. We let him know, we know what you did for us. I know what you did for me. Hallelujah. This is why God is so real to us. It's why we celebrate. It's why we communicate with God. It's why he's real in our lives. It's because of what he's already done for us. Amen. Deuteronomy 10:21. We're going through scripture. We always want to go into scripture because the truth of God is always found in his word. And so you may say, well, I've been to churches that only share like one or two scriptures. You have me turning all over the place. Great. Get used to it. Turn all over the place in your own time too. Yes. Amen. Oh, I love this scripture. It's so good. Deuteronomy 10:21. You should bookmark this, highlight this. Oh, man. He is your praise. He is your praise. He is your thankfulness. Yeah. He is your blessing. Yeah. He is the gratitude. He is. He encompasses that. Jesus is our praise. And he is your God who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. You've seen what God's done. Yeah. You may be able to hide it and be distracted enough to stop thinking about it for a time. But if you try, you will see what God has done in your life. If you sit there and you really say, God did this for me. He redeemed me from this. He brought me from here to here. Oh, I remember when I was down with that. He helped me through it. We're people that are actually very resilient. You may not feel resilient, but people are quite resilient. We can go through a horrible, horrible trial, and a couple years later, we can't even remember what it's like to be in that trial. Somebody, you know, I remember raising a baby and having... if I think back, I can remember sleepless nights of a screaming, crying, teething baby. But like in my day-to-day life, I don't ever even think about that. I don't even remember that. Like the thought of like having that affect me now, it doesn't affect me at all. And that's how a lot of trial is with people. It doesn't affect us anymore. But see, because of that, we can have a tendency to forget what God did for us. And we don't ever want to forget what God did for us. We don't ever want to forget what he brought us through, what he already did for us. See, he has done, and we have seen them with our own eyes. He is our praise. I'll just pull up on the screen, Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by him, because he is our praise, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We've seen what he's done. That's why we continually praise him. We continually offer the sacrifice. Why is it a sacrifice? Because your flesh feels weird. Because it feels weird. Because you may want to complain because that's what you always did your whole life. You may want to complain. You may want to murmur. You may want to be silent. You may want to curl up in a ball. But instead you sacrifice and you get your flesh under and you put your flesh down and you say, God, you are my praise. You have brought me out of this. You've already gotten me to the other side. I thank you, Lord. I've seen with my own eyes what you're capable of. And I know you're going to do it again.
Yes.
Whew. We need to continually offer the sacrifice of praise. Continually offer to God the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 145. I think you're still in Psalm. If not, you can get there. You're going to know where that is by the time we're done here. Psalm 145. Love the word of God. I love God. I love you, Lord. Psalm 145, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3. It says, I will extol you, Lord, you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. That means exalt. I will exalt you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. Every day, Lord, I commit to you right now, Lord, that I won't let a day pass without blessing you, without thanking you, Lord. I commit that to you right now, Lord, that I will not let a day pass without letting you know that I'm grateful for my salvation. I'm grateful for what you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. There is no one greater than God. There is no one who has ever done or ever going to do anything comparable to what God's done for you. And that is why we praise, and that is why we thank him, and that is why the amen, so be it, is spoken to by those who believe. Amen. Do you know that in heaven there's a constant flow of praise and worship to God constantly? If you're uncomfortable in a church that praises God, when you get to heaven someday, that's what people are doing. That's like what they do. There's, you know, and it's not just when a worship director stands up and leads you. It's out of your own heart. It's good to sing along with the worship and things like that, but it's good to praise God without somebody telling you everything you need to say and when you need to say it. Hallelujah. Go ahead. We're going to look at Revelation 7, 9 through 12. Hallelujah. Yep, there is a constant flow of praise in heaven. Constantly. So we need to get used to that, right? After Revelation 7, 9 through 12. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces, kneeling in adoration before the throne, and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." That is a picture of heaven. That is what will be taking place in heaven. Amen. That is what people will be doing in heaven. So get used to it now, because praise is a good thing. Yeah. And that glorifies God. Amen. That glorifies us and changes things in us as well. Amen. I'm just going to pull up here, Exodus 15, 12, or 2. "The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him." You maybe didn't even know the Bible had all this to say about praise and worship and thanking God, but there's sure a lot, isn't there? It means something to God. It glorifies him. It affects him. It changes things. And he's got people doing it for eternity in heaven. And so I want to get on board with heaven. I don't know about you, but I want to get on board with heaven. You know, when we're talking to God, like I said, it's great that we worship and we sing along. I had asked the worship team, because that song was on my heart, I'd asked them if they would sing that song, prepare us to praise God with a heart of thanksgiving, to bless God, amen. But you know, that's great. But we shouldn't only have canned kind of messages to God. If all I said to my husband is every time I wanted to talk to him, I took like a Hallmark card and I just read it to him.
Yeah, come on.
"Oh, and you are such a lovely sunset in my life." He's like, "Can you just be real with me? Can you just like talk to me? Instead, you know what I mean? Can we just be real with God?" I'm not saying poems aren't pretty. Songs are wonderful. You know, the ones that praise God are wonderful. But I'm saying we need to do more than that. Yes. Don't just be the person who says, "Well, I praise God in my own way. I speak to God in my own way." No, you speak to God with words, because that's his way. Amen. And you speak to him with words that are true from your heart. Are you truly thankful to God? Are you truly thankful? And if you say, "I don't know what to be thankful for," well, then your assignment is to go home and look at all the things that your eyes have seen the Lord do in your life. And then you get thankful real quick, because you're not going to have any more unless you're thankful for what you have right now. "The Lord has become my salvation. There's no greater gift and there's no greater love." You know, yesterday was my husband's birthday, and we make birthdays special in our house. And my heart was to just bless him, because I love him so much, and he's so good to me, so good to our family. Listen, this man serves God with all his heart. He sacrifices so much. I know that you see some of it, but you don't see it like I see it. He sacrifices so much of himself and so much of his time and so much of his recreation and the things that many of us get to enjoy in life. He sacrifices so much of that. And so I wanted to just pour out on him. And so all day long, I was like, I love you. Happy birthday. And I meant it. I really meant it. Like, I love you so much. You're so awesome. You're my favorite. You're my best friend. I love you so much. That's how I talk to him. Why do I say those things? Because I truly mean it. Like, I love you. You're so good to me. You're so good to our family. You've done so many good things for your family and your wife and your kids and your church. And I just love you so much. We should be like that with God. Why aren't we that way with God? Why are we ignoring God? Why aren't we like pouring out everything we have to return the love that he gave us? Isn't it so important? I mean, it means something. Consider where the Lord has taken you. Consider when he saved you. Think about it. When has he saved your life? He saved you for eternity, but I mean in the here and now. What has he done for you? When has he saved you? Think about that and use it as a reason to be thankful and to praise him. Express that deep love and thankfulness. You know, for me, I'm so thankful that God delivered me from hell. I was on my way to hell. I was 22 years old. I was an atheist, and I didn't think that was ever changing. And God sent my husband to me. I wasn't married, but he sent my husband to me. And my husband is the reason I showed up to church. And because he made me go, because he loved me enough to tell me, because he knew it was the only way we were going to ever have a blessed life, to get me into church, to get us back, to get himself back to the place where he was serving God. Listen, he was backslidden. He was living a rough life. He was severely backslidden. But inside, in his person of persons, in his the deep thinker, that the inside, he knew that the only way to have a blessed life was with God.
Yes.
And the only way to have a blessed marriage was with God.
Yes.
And so he brought me to church, and he took me there, and he let somebody preach the word to me. And he helped me when I had questions, and he was there along the way. I am so thankful that God sent me somebody to save my life out of hell.
Yes.
I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that when God brought my husband to me, he brought me two boys that I could raise and be their mom and have to love. I'm so thankful that God allowed me to have a daughter, that God gave me Ezra. I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that God feeds us, that God clothes us, that though we were in poverty, he made a way for us to get out. I'm so thankful that somebody taught me the word. I'm so thankful that I was taught enough to know that if I could change, if I would do things according to this and let this be my mirror, that my life would change, and it did. I'm so thankful that God uses me to share his word with his people. I'm so thankful. Like, I can't even express the honor that is to be able to stand before you, your precious faces that I think about and love and just think about all the time. I'm so thankful that God did that for me, that God took this atheist little girl who had no hope, who was going to hell, and now uses me to share his word. That's why we praise him. That's why we thank him. That's why we don't let a day go. That's why his praise is continually on our lips, continually. So it's not weird to amen. It's not weird to thank him. It's not weird to praise him. It's what we do because we love him, because we've seen with our own eyes what he's done. Amen? Hallelujah. The devil will try to shut you up. But don't let the devil take your testimony. Hallelujah. Let's go to Psalm 71. I love the Lord. You're so good to us, God. Psalm 71, verse 14 through 19. Hallelujah. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. Every day that goes on, we should be thanking him more and more. Why? Because he's done more and more. Every day that goes on, our eyes have seen more and more of what he's done for us. Amen? My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. There's no limit to what God has done for you and will continually do for you. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Also your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? Your testimony is as much for you as it is for anybody else. Your testimony and you reminding yourself, testify to yourself. Let you know and let the devil know, I know what God has brought me out of. I know what God has done for me. I just stood up here and I testified to you, but I testified to myself too. And you know what? Anybody who's watching by live stream, that'll testify to them. Do not let the devil steal your testimony. Your testimony speaks to people. Your testimony glorifies God. And we praise him because of it. We praise him for what he's done. Amen. If the devil can shut you up in church, he'll have you shut up outside of church. Yeah, because church is where we learn how to be Christians. Church is where we learn how to worship him in spirit and in truth. Remember John 4:24, true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. How, what's that? According to the word of God, being led by the spirit, according to the word of God, that's how we worship. That's how we praise, amen? True Christians need to know the truth. Religion teaches us to shut up and be somber, but joy doesn't look like that. Thanksgiving isn't silent. Thanksgiving is praise. Love isn't silent. Love says, I love you. Amen? Because you know what? If you won't tell somebody you love that you love them, then you got to wonder, do I really love them? Because is my pride or my discomfort of saying those three words, I love you, worth not telling somebody that I love them? People need to know that you love them, right? Tell your family you love them often. Tell your family all the time you love them. But tell God you love him every day. His praise shall continually be on your lips, continually. Hallelujah. Psalm, we're going to end the teaching part of this in Psalm 35. Hallelujah. I love you. Love you all. And I mean it. Psalm 35:28. Hallelujah. And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all day long. Where are you throughout your day? I'm at work. Great. I'm speaking of his righteousness. I'm speaking of his promises. I'm speaking of what he's done for me all day long. I'm testifying to myself and I'm testifying to others. Where am I? I'm in my car. Great. I'm speaking of his righteousness. I'm speaking of his praise. I'm praising him. I'm thanking him all day long. Anywhere I am, wherever I go, it's never the wrong place to praise God. Now, you may not be, you know, yelling it over the loudspeaker everywhere you go. Let's, you know, people might think you're a little bit weird if you're in, you know, the drive-thru and you're ordering your cheeseburger and you're like, and by the way, praise God! But when they give you your receipt and they say, I put a little extra napkins in your bag, praise God, thank you. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm not, don't be weird, but don't be afraid to praise him. Right. So here's your homework. Praise, praise, then praise again, thank him again, then thank him again. And when the devil tries to shut you up, because he will, you shut him up. No, Satan, I know who my God is. My God is bigger. I know what my God has done. My eyes have seen what my God has done. Satan, get behind me. Oh, by the way, you're under my feet. You're a defeated foe. I'm going with God. He's getting me to the other side. He's brought me there once. He'll bring me there again. And you speak to that. And you let the devil know that you won't run on me. I run on you. I'm your boss. You're not my boss. So your homework, praise. Praise, praise, then praise some more. Thank him again, then thank him again, and then tell the devil to shut up and get behind you, and you go on to the other side with God. Amen.